This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each source and the story, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Bryn Celli Du, burial mound in Wales, was aligned to the sun. 2,400-year-old tombs are discovered in central China, while in Italy, the oldest known frescoed tomb in Europe is discovered. Himadu influences in prehistoric Philippines are explored, and there are claims that road plans will put Stonehenge's world status at risk. Dental work in Mexico dates back 4,500 years, and finally, Basques were fishermen more than 8,000 years ago. An archaeologist has discovered that the passage into a burial mound on Anglesey in Wales was built to catch the rising sun on the summer solstice. Steve Burrow said he was elated when the sun filtered through the trees as he sat in the Bryn Celli Du chamber. He made the discovery as he researched a book about burial tombs in Wales from 4000 to 3000 BCE. Mr. Burrow, the curator of Neolithic archaeology at the National Museum of Wales, said he had to visit the site twice before his discovery. On the last day of his second visit, he entered the chamber along a 5-metre-long entrance passage and was the first person to record the event in over 5,000 years. The site is owned by the heritage body CADU, which has part-funded a radiocarbon dating programme at the site. Testing has discovered that postholes outside the entrance to the chamber are 3,000 years older than the tomb itself. This could point to the site having the remains of the oldest building in Wales. A video of the sun rising and entering the Bryn Celli Du chamber can be viewed as part of the exhibition called Death in Wales at the National Museum of Wales in Cardiff until the 24th of September. Archaeologists in the central province of Hubei in China have discovered 47 tombs that date back more than 2,500 years. They have excavated two of the largest, where they found dozens of intact objects including a copper cooking pot, copper dishes, a dagger, bronze swords and arrowheads, and various pieces of carved jade. In the second tomb, jade items and a hair clasp were unearthed, leading archaeologists to believe it is the tomb of a woman. The people buried in the two tombs were each accompanied by a servant who was very likely buried alive with the dead. The two tombs contained the remains of nobles from the Junna kingdom, which flourished during the spring and autumn period, between 770 BCE and 476 BCE. The tombs were built facing in the same direction and are parallel with each other, and the bronzeware discovered in the tombs will provide important clues in the study of bronze making of the different kingdoms during the spring and autumn period. The bronzeware discovered was very different from similar bronzes unearthed elsewhere in China. Archaeologists in Italy have identified the oldest known frescoed burial chamber in Europe after being led to the site by a tomb raider. The robber, who was on trial for trafficking hundreds of illegally excavated antiquities, revealed the location of the tomb, a wheat field in Veio, some 30 kilometres north of Rome, in the vain hope of gaining leniency from the courts. Experts believe the underground burial chamber, the Tomb of the Roaring Lions, dates from around 690 BCE and belonged to a warrior prince from the nearby Etruscan town. Decorated with fierce lions and birds, it has been hailed as the earliest example of funerary decorations in the Western world. Archaeologists said looters had already taken away urns containing the cremated remains of the occupants, but had missed some objects. Among the items recovered are decorated vases imported from Greece, a sword, a two-wheeled bronze chariot, and metal spits used for roasting meat at the prince's table. The recovery of elegant brooches, a wool spindle, and other objects usually used by females suggests that at least one woman, possibly the prince's wife, was buried in the tomb. The urns containing the cremated remains of the tomb's owners are believed to have been taken by the looters. The images of birds and fang-bearing lions in colours of black and red, made with paints produced from minerals and fixed to the wall using a compound created by crushed fossils, are the most important discovery, according to the archaeologists. The birds represent the journey to the afterlife, while the lions represent the fear of what awaits those who arrive. Although decorated prehistoric caves predate the Etruscan tomb by millennia, experts say the Veio site is at least a century older than previously discovered Etruscan burial chambers. Here we see used for the first time the techniques described in ancient texts and used in Western civilization in the following centuries. Veio was captured in 396 BCE after a 10-year siege and razed by the Romans. Its remains are nowadays hidden in undergrowth in an archaeological park off the busy Via Cassia, the main road leading north from Rome, little visited by tourists and familiar mainly by classical experts. The Etruscan ruins are also well known, however, to tomb robbers, or tombaroli, who plunder them from antiquities to sell illegally on the international art market. Although most of the tombaroli are uneducated country people, they actually acquire an expertise which rivals that of archaeologists, collectors and dealers. The Etruscans were one of the original and most cultured civilizations of central Italy, until they were conquered by the Romans, and despite being wiped out, they left rich evidence of their sophisticated life. Archaeologists working to restore the frescoes hope the tomb will eventually be let open to the public. The Himozu excavation site in Hangzhou, China, accidentally discovered by construction workers in 1973, chronicles the early Neolithic past of China's civilization. In the Philippines, the discovery of the Hemzu culture is especially significant because it provides a more complete glimpse into the origins of Southeast Asian culture, particularly the rice culture. The Hemozu site covers 40,000 square meters, and two excavations in 1973 and 1979 unearthed around 7,900 objects. Carbon dating on the relics from the deepest layer, which is 4 meters beneath the ground surface, reveal a Hemozu culture at least 7,000 years old. The relics consist of human skeletons, large amounts of grain and rice, farm implements, tools, timber, architectural structures, the remains of animals, plants and fruits, and even primitive artistic carvings on wood and metal. The latest archaeological discovery corrects the traditional thinking that China's culture began solely in the Yellow River Basin and conclusively proves the multiple location origin of Chinese culture. For Asians, the Hemozu culture points to the Yangtze River as another focal point of Chinese culture, which was transmitted to other parts of Asia, especially Southeast Asia. The Hemozu discovery opens up a source of new information on the study of the maritime Silk Route in China and in the spread of Chinese culture into the Philippines and beyond through the Manila-Acapulco Latin American connection. Stonehenge risks being stripped of its status as a World Heritage Site because of second-rate government proposals to ease traffic congestion at the monument, the National Trust said. Sarah Staniforth, Historic Properties Director with the Trust, said the National Committee of UNESCO, which administers World Heritage Sites, had reviewed the situation and Stonehenge could be taken off the list because of poor traffic management. The Trust's warning comes as ministers prepare to decide what to do to ease congestion on the A303, which passes the ancient stones. Options being considered include a 1.3-mile tunnel or diverting the road to the north or south on the fringes of the 2,200-hectare site. The Trust, which owns much of the land around Stonehenge, does not support any of these plans. For over 70 years, the Trust has been acquiring parts of the ancient ceremonial landscape integral to Stonehenge for the specific purpose of reuniting the stones with the landscape and restoring the integrity. Sir William Proby, chair of the Trust, said in an open letter to Stephen Ladiman, the Transport Minister, that if the government is unable to commit to implementing an acceptable long-term solution for Stonehenge, then it would be better to make no long-term commitment and not tie the hands of future generations. He said the threat to Stonehenge was urgent, serious and imminent. The issue was not the preservation of the stones, but protection and restoration of the surrounding site, believed to hold undiscovered archaeological treasures. And we cannot stand by and allow second-rate solutions to damage forever one of the world's most important landscapes. Tom Hassell, chairman of ICOMOS UK, World Heritage Committee, and Dr. Mike Hayworth, director of the Council for British Archaeology, strongly supported the National Trust call for a rethink on the possible future of the A303 at Stonehenge. Mr. Hassell said that immediate improvements are possible, but the final solution must truly acknowledge the World Heritage Site's full cultural and economic value. In seeking solutions for current problems, the government must be genuinely looking forward to a long-term future. And Dr. Hayworth commented that the government should focus on the benefits of achievable small-scale improvements that do not compromise the future options, while actively seeking a longer-term solution that reflects the immense public value and international importance of Stonehenge and the unique landscape. The Department for Transport said it would not decide on its preferred solution until a steering group reported this summer. Researchers report that they have found a 4,500-year-old burial in Mexico that had the oldest known example of dental work in the Americas. The upper front teeth of the remains had been ground down so that they could be mounted with animal teeth, possibly a wolf or a panther, for ceremonial purposes. This was according to researchers from the University of Connecticut. Such modifications, typically using beasts of prey, became more common centuries later in the Maya culture, but this is the earliest example that has yet been found. The individual, aged 28 to 32, would no longer have been able to bite with his front teeth, but appears to have been well-fed nonetheless. The body indicated that he did not do any hard work and perhaps was an important person in society. Found in the Mikokian area, the body has been placed on a large rock with then another one laid on top. Sadly for the individual, the teeth were filed down so much that the pulp cavities were exposed, and this led to an infection. The researchers said that they found rock art and symbols related to other ancient cultures in the region, including calendar symbols. In addition to the teeth, they found pieces of skull and bones from his hands, feet and leg. There was no indication of physical disability, and he had not suffered from any ailments such as arthritis. The cause of death was not clear, but the researchers said that there had been active and painful infection in the two teeth. The Basques that settled 8,000 years ago in the Jaizkibel Mountains near the Basque coast were skillful enough to go fishing 2 kilometres out to sea. These ancient humans set sail out to sea fishing, something which meant actually 50% of their diet. Moving from the Paleolithic to the Neolithic and immersed in climatic and cultural changes, men had no alternative but to search out for new ways to get food, and they had made their way far out to sea. The remains discovered in the Gipuzkoa show a man between 30 and 40 years old with a diet consisting of some species of fish, which are usually caught kilometres far from the coast. Other human remains found in some other cave sites in the Spanish region of the Asturias showed similar conclusions. Once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a vast UK heritage calendar, a library and a growing guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.